Message there, brother. And I'm going to borrow a verse from you real quick. What I'd like for you to do is we're now going to turn to two passages of Scripture. The first one will be the book of Song of Solomon in chapter number 7. And once you have found Song of Solomon, just put a bookmark or something in there. We're going to turn back over to Proverbs chapter number 3. Because I really liked how this verse went, and I believe this will kind of go right along with our sermon here tonight. And once you have found your place, if you please stand, so I'm not the only one standing here for a few moments. Proverbs chapter number 3, and we'll just go ahead and we'll read verse 25 and 26. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. I like that. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, thy hope, thy trust, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Mm-hmm. Keep it from being captured. Now, flip over with me to Song of Solomon, chapter number 7, and we'll read verse number 1. It says, how beautiful are thy feet with shoes. And we'll go ahead and pause right there. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, and we do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day, and we thank you, Lord, for the sermon that you had Brother Randall bring to us. And, Lord, we certainly need your help because this world's got so many things that cause us to fear, that seek to entrap us, to ensnare us so that we cannot go forward for you. And it could be just something as simple as depression, Lord. And we need to have ourselves better prepared for it.
Yes,
and we do pray, Father, for your help, Lord, with that, please. And I ask, Father, humbly, Lord, that you'd please help me, Father, to present the sermon the way that you'd have me to, Lord, would be a help to your people.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we love you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Kind of an interesting passage of Scripture here, Song of Solomon. Of course, it's one of the poetical books. And he is in the process of wooing his woman. Actually, as you study out Song of Solomon, he's already been married here for a while, but thank God he was still pursuing her. But the important thing here, where it says, how beautiful are thy feet with shoes, is we have to remember this is a patriarchal society. This is not 2017. I personally believe that this is why women love shoe shopping so much. Because in this patriarchal society, the husband got shoes. The male children got shoes. Miss Stephanie, until the wife proved herself to her husband, she didn't get shoes.
Amen.
Moving right along. The daughters probably weren't going to get shoes. I mean, if the family was rich, okay, perhaps they would. But in order of importance, the girls weren't all that important, and the wife was only slightly more important. Second-class citizens, I'm sorry, that's how it was. You can stone me later. But the fact of the matter remains here. Solomon is saying, how beautiful are thy feet with shoes. You have been approved. You have been accepted. And I want you to have on the best possible shoes so that nothing is going to hurt your feet, so that you cannot be tripped up, so that you cannot be captured. But I want you to know while we are shoe shopping here this evening, and that's what we're titling our sermon is shoe shopping, that we've got to be careful about the shoes we're going to get to place on our feet. Because if we're not careful, we're going to get hurt. Now, this past week, I got over to the doctor there, and I finally got my cast off, finally in my walking boot, and I was all excited about that, Brett. I thought maybe I was going to finally get a little bit of freedom. That's what I get for thinking, Randall. As he told me, treat that just like you would the cast. No putting pressure on it. And while it is touching the floor right now, everything right now is on my left leg. Because right now, the bones inside, they still need healing. But this walking boot here is for my protection.
Right, right, right.
It would serve me no good whatsoever to show up here in gym shoes. It would serve me no good whatsoever to show up here in dress shoes, because all it would be doing is injuring my foot. And the same goes for us spiritually. We must go about doing our shoe shopping the correct way, or we are going to injure ourselves.
Amen.
I was talking with my mother a few weeks back, and she asked me if I ever had heard a sermon on different types of shoes that we can wear, and she listed a couple of them that she'd heard this preacher bring up, and it got me interested, and I got to thinking about this the other day, and I started looking up what are the different types of shoes that we can purchase. May I say, one of the pairs of shoes that we could purchase to put on our feet are called jelly shoes. Jelly shoes. If you would, please run with me over to the book of Galatians, chapter number 1. I want to show you these shoes here, and as time permits, we'll turn, and if we start running out of time, I'll just give the synopsis of the scriptures. But in Galatians, chapter number 1, verse number 6, we find our first pair of shoes, which are jelly shoes. Verse number 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. You see, jelly shoes are a trendy shoe that comes in and out of fashion every few years, and it's been doing this ever since they were first introduced to America here in the early 1980s. These jelly shoes are semi-transparent colored plastic that has been infused with glitter and is very flexible. By the way, they can be recycled. They come in a variety of styles and are comfortable in winter, fall, and spring, but not the summertime, as if they get too hot. Church, doesn't that just sound like what we read here in verse 6 and 7? What this is a false doctrine. This is a false religion. This is man's way of trying to deal with God instead of coming to God, God's way, and letting Him have the say-so in our lives. This is exactly like what Brother Randall's talking about earlier, when the Israelites had a good idea, let's go to God, but then they turned around and they started blaming God. They started blaming Moses and saying, hey, we're not getting this done the way that we want to. And when things got hot, they started kicking him off. We got to get out of him and find something else that'll make us feel better. And church, jelly shoes are going to do that to us, because we're going to find ourselves getting out of church, getting out of God's will, not wanting to go back, and then we find ourselves jumping from one church to another church to another church, because we're looking for something that's going to be tickling our ears, making us feel good, and everybody's just singing, la 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 la, and I like it. Oh no, that person hurt my feelings. How, Miss Stephanie, how could you look at me like that? I ain't coming back here no more. And they got to move on to the next church. And they move on to the next one. And soon enough, the pastor starts getting messages. Hey, if this family shows up at your church, watch your back. Preacher. Why? Because they've put on jelly shoes. They represent this false doctrine. This doctrine that gets recycled every few years and comes back around. Maybe it's a different person speaking. Maybe it's a different church doing it, but it's the same old, same old. By the way, when you start recycling something, every time you recycle it, it loses a little bit of matter in order for it to be converted all over again. And we look at our Bible, and we thank God for our King James Bible. And then someone comes along and says, yeah, but I've got this NIV right here. And then the next person says, yeah, but I've got this ESV, and I've got this SUV, and I've got this perversion, I've got this perversion. And before long, you've got so many verses missing that you've got people missing now.
Amen.
Because they're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God.
Preach.
May I say, aside from having jelly shoes, we can also get us some elevator shoes. Run with me over to the book of John, chapter number 6. In John, chapter number 6, we're finding here where Jesus has been given some hard teaching, been giving the people some sound doctrine, and they don't like the sound of it because it ain't tickling their ears. But that's not what we're focusing on. I want you to see in verse number 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Watch this. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? This is the 12 apostles. And one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. for he was that would betray him, being one of the 12. Yes. He got on his high horse. He thought he was something special. Elevator shoes, they're meant to give you the illusion of greater height. They also include high heels. Just throwing that out there, okay? Now, this illusion of greater height is done by having sections of the insole that, especially under the heel area, that have been made to be thicker than what you're wearing. It gives the impression that the wearer is taller than they actually are. This extra lift is hidden inside of the shoe and out of sight to the casual observer. The different soles could be made of plastic, wood, or rubber. Sounds pretty good right there. The rubber part, hey, I got rubber soles on right now. But you know what? That's just the person who's a little bit bigger than they need to be. I think of Ananias and Sapphira, and I believe that they were saved, but I believe they got on some elevator shoes. They got a little bit too big for their britches. Hey, we can make ourselves look good over here. And they started building themselves up, giving a false impression, because they figured no one else can see what's going on. That only the two of them understood how much the land was to be sold for and how much they were given.
Right. Amen.
And we do that sometimes too. And I know there's a lot more on the outside than there is in here, but you know, let's be honest with ourselves here, church.
For sure. Preach.
And then, of course, there are those out there. They're that plastic. They're that wood. They are not what we normally would wear under our shoes. They are not really Christian. Oh, they claim to be Christian, but they're not, and they're leading people astray. They built themselves up. I got a friend who keeps posting on Facebook, so long as churches look like this, and it's this huge sprawling complex, and pastors' houses look like this, and it's this huge mansion, no one's ever going to get any real help. And I keep telling her over and over again, A, that's the exception to the rule, and B, you're going to find that they are not bringing the true gospel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every time I see it, I can't help but think of our pastor, no offense, but I'd love to be able to show them where you live. I'd love for them to realize the inside of my house, she's never even seen the inside, only the outside. Let her know, hey, look, I ain't got gold hanging up on my walls. But these people have given a false impression, and it distorts everything so that the rest of the world thinks that we're all nothing but a bunch of crooks because some have elevator shoes on. They've made themselves bigger. Just like Judas here, he made himself bigger, and when things didn't go the way he wanted, hey, someone give me 30 pieces of silver, and I'll sell you Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God, I ain't selling Jesus. I'm giving him for free.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But we've got to watch elevator shoes. We don't need them, church. By the way, high heels, I got to thinking about that. You know what that's good for, Randall? Because usually that's like a stiletto shape. I could take it and I could start whacking people on the head and put a dent in there, maybe even kill them. My soul, church. How many have done that? Stay away from those elevator shoes. The third one we should stay away from are called platform shoes. Run with me over to Matthew chapter number 6. And yes, I did look all these shoes up. I'm not pulling words out of thin air. Matthew chapter number 6. We'll read a couple of verses here. Verse 2 and verse 5. It says, therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Why? Because they've got themselves a platform shoe. So what's a platform shoe? Well, it is an obviously thick sole that is anywhere from 1 inch to 4 inches thick. This is the one that has the high heels part. I beg your pardon, I misspoke there. That's where the heel is raised significantly higher than the ball of the foot. If the heel is down here, the ball, this would be the big toe. The ball is up here underneath the big toe. Incidentally, that's where I had most of my problems with my foot ulcer. It was because too much pressure was being put on the ball there instead of being divided over the whole foot. And what it does here with these platform shoes, with these high heels, is it puts unnecessary pressure in all the wrong places. But it also puts unnecessary pressure onto your ankles. So that when you're way up here, you're more likely to fall and sprain an ankle, possibly break an ankle, do damage to yourself here. And these men that Jesus is calling hypocrites, he calls them Pharisees over there in Luke's gospel, and tells them that what they are doing is they are putting themselves way up here. Look at me. Look at me. Oh, I'm done this. Hey, I just threw a $100 bill in the offering plate. Did you see that? Hey, Randall, did you see that? I did that. Yep. Yep. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't tell anyone that, but you know. We're buddies, okay? But that's what they'll do. They'll pull up in their flash car there and have a nice thick envelope, throw it in, probably all ones, but hey, it looks the part, don't it? There'll be these people here. They'll get up and, oh, pastor calling me to pray. Let me use every $10 word I got. Dennis used a $5. I can throw out a few $100 words right over there, yeah. Make a big show of it. We make something special out of ourselves here. And God says, you may have your platform, but you've also got your reward. God says, what you do in secret, I'm going to reward you openly. God says, what's done here on earth, he's going to reward there in heaven. What we're going through in this life here is going to not be compared to the light afflictions of this world, will not be compared to what's waiting for us there in glory, church. Stay off the platforms there and do as God would have you to do. Amen. Now I realize we're on a platform up here, but that's because we need to be bringing our focus to this book right here.
Amen.
We're not up here on this platform so I can be taller than the rest of you. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Y'all are sitting. If I was standing down there, I'd be taller than you. Stay off of man's platforms. They're no good for you. By the way, walking in platform shoes can be cumbersome and very clumsy. And you've got a whole lot of extra weight that you're trying to pick up as you're walking along. Doesn't the Bible tell us to lay every weight and sin down? Let's lay that stuff down. And since we're going to lay that down, let's look at three good pairs of shoes here real quick. The first is called the boat shoes. Turn with me over to Luke chapter number 5, please. Luke chapter number 5, we find here that Jesus has just got done preaching. And he wants to go out on the boat. And verse number 4 says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, that's Peter by the way, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, because you do your fishing in the night, not the day, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Amen. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. What's the boat shoe? The boat shoe is this. It features a sipping pattern. That word sipping, basically it just means that they cut slits into it. It's the same process that they do with the treads on the tire. That's called sipping. And what this sipping does is it allows for traction on wet surfaces, which is very important when you are dealing with the inside of a boat where it's wet and you're there on the dock and it is wet. You don't want to slip and fall into the water. You don't want to slip and hit your head on something there. You want to have some good, solid traction, church, when you are walking about here and there's slippery conditions. And praise God, we need to have some more better traction in our lives, because the sin is slippery and it's a slope that goes straight down, and the closer we get to the edge, the more likely we're going to fall over. But if we've got the good traction, we can find ourselves walking away into where the Lord would have us to go instead. Get you some good boat shoes. These boat shoes are made with a leather construction along with an application of oil that repels water. Praise God, it's going to keep this world from getting a hold of you. They are made with a durable stitching so that they aren't going to fall apart. Praise God for a good Christian who doesn't fall apart at the first time a Pharaoh's army come marching in and they're looking at the Red Sea. They are worn without socks. What that tells us, church, is spiritually, don't let nothing come between you and God's power for you. They belong to the one who knows better, in quotes, they know better, but are still willing to follow God's orders. Peter knew better. Now's not the time to go fishing, but you say go, I'm going to go. And they give confidence in their traction to go wherever it is that you need to go and get the job done when you're there. Yeah. I remember many years ago, I got me a pair of boots. They're from Shoes for Cruise. And Miss Stephanie, they come with an ironclad guarantee that if you fall while wearing them, they'll take care of all your medical bills. And I got these boots, and I had this mall at the time, and I went there, and right in front of the very restaurant I need to go to, they are mopping. Well, I might as well try it, Randall. So I walked with pure impunity straight for him there. I didn't walk around the water. I went straight through the water. Signs all over the place, attention, dangerous, slippery when wet, and all that good stuff there. And I'm going there because I'm going to prove these shoes. I got over there, and the owner's like, what are you doing? You're going to fall. I said, no, sir, I got me Shoes for Cruise. It guarantees I will not fall. They'll take care of my medical expenses. Praise the Lord. I made it over here. I'm going to make it back, and I'm going to come back over here again, deliver your bread, and then I'm going to leave, and I will not fall. And you know what happened, Brett? I did not fall. Amen. Church, if God can take care of me there in that situation, He can take care of us anywhere. Amen. But we've got to learn to have trust in our traction. Amen. But if we ain't got on a pair of boat shoes, we can slip and fall. But not only is there a good pair of boat shoes we need to get, but may I say that there's a good pair of climbing shoes that we need to get. Over in the book of Joshua, chapter number 14, we find that they're dividing up the land. And Caleb went to Joshua, and he told him this over there in verse number 14, if I can find it. Chapter 14, verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Amalekites were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Praise God! He was going to do him some mountain climbing, Brother Randall. He saw that mountain 40 years prior, and he knew what he was going to be up against. And Brother Brett, it wasn't going to be the same resistance that it was 40 years ago. No, because they had 40 years to prepare for what was coming their way. And it was going to be even harder. But praise God, Caleb knew, woo, I can climb this mountain. Amen. What is it about the climbing shoes? May I say, first of all, that they feature a very close fit. It's like another layer of skin. They are so tight. What this does, it allows us to have a closer walk with God. There is little, if any, padding inside. Church, the going is going to be rough, but you need to be able to feel where your foot are. Yeah. Think about it. If you are going to be climbing one of those climbing walls that they've got, you need to know if your foot is on that little outcropping, or if it's just how it's kind of shaped and you think you've got something. You've got to be able to know for sure, are you up against the wall with your foot? Or does it just seem like you are? You must be aware of your surroundings. These climbing shoes will allow that. They have a smooth, sticky, rubbery sole to them that gives an extra grip. It's like putting another hand on the bottom of your foot, because your foot, instead of being in a cast, which is what shoes are. Your shoes are a cast on your foot. They're just more flexible than what I've got on right now. But having on these climbing shoes allows your foot to fully function. The arch to open and contract there as you are climbing up. Then you get a little better grip on the land there. Hard sole won't do that. Hard sole will, because it's hard, I got just that little bit edge, and if I feel the pressure all the way across my fingers, but I've only got very little on that edge there, and I can easily slip. You need something that'll get a hold of. Praise God when the Lord gets a hold of you too. Amen. And may I say that these climbing shoes, they're not designed for walking. They're not. They're designed for climbing. You don't put them on until you're at the base of the climb. Church, we got us a mountain to conquer. Yeah. Put on the right climbing shoes and you're going to conquer that mountain. Yeah. Don't put on the right pair of climbing shoes, you're going to fall. Yep. But the last one, though. Aside from these climbing shoes, aside from these boat shoes that we need to put on, that they're going to help us there, they're Oxford shoes. Oxford shoes. And if you want, run with me over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. We're coming down the home stretch here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. The Bible tells us, beginning in verse number 19, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." Oxford shoes originally were a plain, formal shoe made of leather. They have evolved, though, into a range of styles suitable for formal, uniform, and casual wear. Based upon the function and the fashion that is dictated, they are made from a variety of materials, from calf leather to fox or genuine patent leather, suede, or canvas. They can be either plain or patterned, depending upon the situation, depending upon the need, the requirements. They're able to serve. They're able to get the job done. Church, this is a pair that we need to have when we're out here so that we can prepare to go out there. This is the pair we need to have on when we're dealing with the folks out there trying to win them to the Lord. This is the pair that we need to have on when we come back in here to recuperate our strength from having dealt with this world, from having changed into our climbing shoes so that we can climb that mountain, from having put on our boat shoes so that we don't slip and fall into sin. This is the pair that we need to get on there so that we can become what it is that the Lord would have us need to be. Amen. By the way, they also lace up. They don't just slip on. They get nice and tight. They get a grip on us. God wants to get a grip on us, church. Will we let Him? You know, I think of that word Oxford there, and it conjures to mind higher learning. People who are going to this great university there, who are going to go in with a desire to learn, who are going to come out, learned individuals who are going to be able to help and who are going to understand the need to keep learning, to keep growing, to keep moving forward, to keep bettering themselves there. And that tells me that we have, by definition, a goal for us, that we need to be at an Oxford in our lives, where we come in with a great hunger for the Lord, with a great hunger for what He has in His Word for us there, and that we leave these doors here, not only having been fed, but that we continue to want to get into His Word. We continue to want to serve Him. We continue to want to grow. We continue to do as He'd want us to do. Amen. Unfortunately, as we can see here, and I'm sorry, but we've got too many who aren't putting on their Oxford shoes. More important things tonight. Now, I realize there are reasons that they can't come. In some cases, but in some cases, it's what I tend to suffer from, which is laziness. I'm lazy. And it's a struggle for me to work. It's a struggle for me at times to sit down and study, to sit down and read my Bible, to sit down and pray. And I do not want to convince anyone otherwise, because that would be a lie. I have to work at it. We all have to work at it. Some of us are better than others, but it's up to each one of us to do this. Just as this shoe appears based on the function and necessary fashion, we should meet the lost as Paul did, to try to win who we can. Whether it's with the good intellectual argument presenting the gospel, whether it's just give them grace, give them law, whatever the case is, we need to present it to them. Come to them. Don't become them. Come to them. Amen. Since shoes stand for authority, which is what they did here in the Bible, I want to ask you this tonight as Pastor comes with a song. What authority are you lacing up with? This is an invitation to a shop of some spiritual shoes. Throw out those old ones, get you some good new ones. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And we pray, Lord, that everyone here was able to get some little something out of the sermon here tonight. And Lord, we certainly need you. I know I most definitely need you. I know I need to get closer to you, walk closer to you, stay closer to you all the time instead of when the need arises. Help me, Father, please. Because I know I'm no good. Paul may have been the chiefest of sinners, but I feel at the times where I'm getting close to him. Help me, Father, please, to walk the right way with the right pair of shoes on. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.